This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Today is Wednesday, April 10th, and this is Celtics Beat on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics. I'm Adam Kaufman. Episode 567 features the voice of the main Celtics, Brendan Glasheen.
And I'm Evan Valenti, and today's show is powered by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the official daily fantasy partner of CLNS Media. Download the app and use the promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to another edition of Celtics Beat. It is the last one of the regular season, which means the next time we join you, and actually, I don't think I'll be part of it. I think it's going to be Evan, whoever he is with. Evan Valenti is here. I am Adam Kaufman. I'll be on vacation, so I won't be around for the round one preview, whoever it is the Celtics wind up getting. And we honestly don't know yet with the jockeying for seeding that is happening in the Eastern Conference. We'll touch on that a little bit later on, but Celtics are incredible. We know that. They're just dicking around at the end of the regular season at this point in time. They're 62-17, three games left, all at home against the Knicks, the Hornets, and Wizards. It's just a big bucket of suck. And so we're not going to spend a ton of time. Obviously, we're not going to like preview these games that are coming up Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, respectively. It just doesn't matter. I mean, nothing that happens right now, barring obviously injury, matters as it relates to the end of the regular season. And that was never made more clear than by that game, as we sit here a little less than a week ago against Sacramento, when Joe Mazzulla refused to put the starters in for much of, if not the entire fourth quarter, as a lead was, double digit lead was dwindling with the reserves. And I mean like next level reserves, like bottom of the bench. I may as well have been out there level reserves going up against the Kings starters because they had something to play for. And it took Xavier Tillman to hit a game winner with 7 seconds left to win that game. And after the game, Mazzulla called it practice. So that is where we're at. That is where we're at the end of the regular season, which honestly is a wonderful place to be. That's what you want. Get the guys in, get them their reps as much as they want them. And as much as, the team experts on load management and yada, yada, yada decide is necessary, but a C's with a 14 game lead in the Eastern Conference, it is obscene. I mean, this is like old school Yankees leading everybody else in the AL East in the 90s by double figures kind of situation right now late in the regular season. But there is, potential injury stuff to talk about as it relates to other teams, most notably the team that is quote unquote right behind the Boston Celtics, the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was out for the remainder of the regular season with this left calf injury and may not be ready for the playoffs. Once again, we think about last year when they went down in the opening round when they were injury depleted, obviously, and upset by the Miami Heat, who, as is often the case, became a postseason nightmare for the Boston Celtics. So a lot of stuff, obviously, to get into. But as you heard in the intro, as you can see on your cameras, if you're watching on the CLNS YouTube page, we have a guy we haven't had on here in a little while, and thrilled to welcome him back, my friend and yours, Brendan Glasheen, who, as I said, is the voice of the main Celtics, who you want to talk about games that are meaningless for the big club? Not the case in the G League right now. The main C's, no longer the Red Claws, rest in peace, the main C's are one win away from winning a championship. We talk about Banner 18 in Boston. They're going for Banner 1 in Maine. And this is an exciting time, obviously. And, if this were the Lakers, they'd probably count that toward their original titles. But the Boston Celtics aren't going to do that. I don't think you'll see a Maine Celtics banner coming up at the TD Garden. But Glash, you took game one, not you, but you were part of it, as far as I'm concerned, over the Oklahoma City Blue, 106-86, an utter domination. And of course, game two coming up Thursday night in OKC. It's a best of three series. You guys can put it away now.
congrats in advance for when this team wins the title. I'm very excited for you. How are you? Welcome to the show.
First of all, you've done almost 600 of these. That's incredible.
Not personally. When did we take over, Ev? Like around 300?
We did this math a long time ago, and I don't remember exactly we did numbers. So maybe we've been around for more than half. 50. Maybe more than half. Yeah.
We've been at this for a while. Yeah.
It'd be like the main Red Claws did the first half, and then the main Celtics came in and did the back half. Similar. You know, something like that. But thanks for having me on. Maine is in a spot here where they can win their first ever championship. They've never been to a finals before. I was looking this up the other day. The last time an NBA franchise and its G League / D League affiliate won the championship in the same year was the 14-15 Golden State Warriors. And that Warriors team went 65-17. So the Celtics are right in that boat. They're not going to get to that 65 win total, but they're going to be right there.
Well, they can if they sweep the rest of the way.
Can they? Is that right? Well, they have 17 losses, so they could get there. Warriors went 67-15. 67-15.
Yeah, not going to get there.
But that year, Golden State had a double-digit lead for first place. I think Houston, with Chris Paul and James Harden, was the next best team in the Western Conference that year. And, Santa Cruz ended up winning the D-League title. So I was looking that up because based on where Boston is and where Maine is at this stage, it's been a lot of fun to follow this team. And having been with the team now the last couple of years and seeing some guys that were in Maine that are now impacting Boston's winning, the parallels in terms of how they play are very similar, and it's not just blowing smoke. They really take it seriously from the how to get guys ready in a Boston-like system and try to get guys to play for the Boston Celtics. And that's what's happened here the last couple of years.
Before we even touch on that and talking about some of the players, and of course there's, Celtics draft picks in there that people are familiar with, J.D. Davis and Jordan Walsh, among other guys. Something Ev and I were talking about just before the show started, and we haven't been there to personally experience it, but looking at it from afar, and obviously you've done a umpteen TV and even now in the playoffs some radio games for this team, but you're in the arena, you're in the atmosphere. It looks, and obviously it's a smaller gym, it's not like the TD Garden or something like that, but it looks like an absolutely insane, incredible environment.
They get like 3,000 people a night. So my first year was after the pandemic was still kind of going on. So they were easing fans back in the building. I'll never forget when the first year, the Maine Celtics had Theo Pinson on the roster. They had Jayshon Page, Luke Kornet. Kornet was actually nabbed for like a 10-day. I want to say it was with Cleveland. These 10-day hardship contracts. And Koff, I know you know about this kind of stuff because when you're playing NBA DFS, trying to manage your lineups, that must be a whole brain fart in terms of trying to figure out what the heck's going on with that. But that was what we were dealing with. So there would be guys coming off the plane, taking a shuttle or a bus to play, and we'd find out an hour before tip, we got a guy coming in. So that's like the minor league background of what the G League does, and you got to have eight guys to play. But now with full packed houses, they've been selling out these games. They sold out the entire New Year's slate. We had 2,600 people at the playoff game on Tuesday night. It was so jam packed. You felt some of the chants you would hear at an NBA game. The Let's Go Celtics. There was a wave. Maine was up 28 in the first half. There was a wave in the first half. The fans did a wave. There was a bunch of NBA and G League personnel there from the league coming in because it's the finals. But they jam pack. It reminds me a lot, for those of you that like to watch the AAU circuit in high school basketball, it has like a Peach Jam feel to it. You pack the place for the next big star. And of course, in this case, these guys are pros. But it's been fantastic, and the fans are really nice. And now that we're doing radio, we have fans sitting right on top of us. It's got like a Cameron Indoor feel to it. So been really cool. And I know folks might think Maine, they think, college hockey, or it's more of a hockey region. Oh, they like their basketball. They really do.
Well, yeah, Cooper Flagg, obviously.
Flagg played a game at the Expo in January.
Yeah, carrying the banner there.
Some of the ticket prices to go watch Cooper Flagg, I think we played on a Thursday, and then Maine was off until, so it was like a Thursday-Saturday series. The G League does a lot of series kind of things with teams just to save on travel and whatnot. And we played Thursday, Saturday. Cooper Flagg had a game at the expo on Friday, and ticket prices were in the $80 to $100 range to go watch him play. Then he would play down the street downtown at the Cross Insurance Center. But yeah, exactly to your point. I mean, it's one of the oldest buildings in the country, the Portland Expo, and they do track and field events. They do a bunch of high school basketball. The Cooper Flag thing is the next level of high school basketball, but yeah, they do a good job. They really do. And I don't remember her name. You guys might know. I don't know for sure, but the woman who does the Celtics in arena hosting, she's come in and done a couple of our games. She'll do like a dual host. So they integrate some of the Boston stuff, with the game presentation. They do a fantastic job with it.
You know, so Lash, get us up to speed a little bit here, because a lot of people like myself, we're only really following how's Jordan Walsh doing and how's JD Davison progressing. And, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, there's some obvious attraction to Kata, who just got a contract, you know, well-deserved, right? When you look at the G League landscape, where does this team fall in terms of talent? I mean, look, they're in the finals. They just beat their opponent by 20 points in game one. Mm-hmm. The three of us, based on your suggestion, are feeling rather confident about the ability for Maine to win this whole thing. And yet, is this a shock to you that they're here at this point?
They were in ninth place at the end of February, and you guys were just talking about it. I think Adam was just talking about the East, and after Boston, between 2 and 9, it's a jumble, right? It's a cluster of teams that could get to 2 or get to 3, and teams are fighting for home court. You got to win your division to secure that you get a higher seed. And you've got Miami and Philadelphia just trying to tread water and get stars back in their lineups and whatnot. Well, the East in the G League was like that all year, 1 through 13. So Maine was in ninth place. So 6 teams get in each conference. Maine was in ninth as of the end of February. They would win 2, lose 2, win 1, lose 1. And that's the nature of the biz when Cade is with Boston all year, and then Walsh might join Boston on a road trip. I think there was a trip where they went Miami to Dallas, and Walsh had an assist at the end of the Miami game. It was one of those TNT games. And then he's from DeSoto, Texas, so they wanted to get him on the road. He saw some family. JD might make a trip. Peterson was getting some time at the end of December when they went on the road to play the Clippers. He's from California, or he played his college basketball in California, I should say, at USC. But like, taking out the family ties, that they also, Boston might have a need because you're resting a Porzingis, so you need Kata, or you're without Drew Holiday, so you need an extra guard. JD's going to get the call. So that's the nature of it, right? You're going to just kind of hang around, tread water, but the talent was there. We said all year, if Kata was with this team, like Walsh was, and played 40-plus games, I think they build a pretty considerable lead in the conference. That was not the case, and they went on a huge run. They won 10 of their last 12. They went 9-2 in March. They had Kata for half of those games in March, and they've put it all together with Peterson, who was on the Sioux Falls Sky Force, the Miami Heat affiliate. Put 2 and 2 together. You play your NBA games in Miami, but maybe to keep the G League team sane, we're gonna keep you guys in South Dakota to make sure you guys are focused on basketballs. There's no G League team in Miami for those guys. But Peterson's been a good story. JD's been with the team for 2 years, so they only brought 2 guys back from last year's team, in Davison and Tony Snell, who is just, throw him in the mix. He's 32 in the NBA for almost a decade and consummate pro. Extension of the staff, all those cliches, but it's true. So we always had the feeling if they put it together and they got home games because of how great their home court is, because across the G League, there's no home court like Maine. With, you can pack a place with 2,500. Some of these teams play at NBA facilities. So when you watch a game, I think there was a playoff game last Tuesday when Indiana played Delaware, and it's at the Pacers' home arena, and they're showing wide shots on the broadcast. I'm like, you might want to tighten this up because there's not many people there. But yeah, these games at the expo have been fantastic. But no, I mean, look, they're here. And I think some guys, you know, Cade is a great example. Like, you're itching to get an NBA contract. You want to be at the next level. He was in the G League last year in the playoffs. He was the MVP runner up in the league, but they've instilled this, like, they all play for each other. They're sacrificing. It's very similar to what we're seeing in Boston. Of course, at a higher level, these guys make way more money. There are more expectations, but these guys could have at any point could have just said, all right, you know, we're going through the motions. Let's wrap this up so we can go to our offseason, get ready for summer league and figure out what's next for me. But they've all done it for each other, and they've pieced it together to go on this pretty awesome run.
Well, that's kind of what I was wondering, you know, and I'm thinking of like the in hockey, you'll have the black aces, you know, the minor league guys that get called up for the playoffs that really, you know, barring significant injury, have no chance of sniffing playing in a playoff game, but they're there for practices and to be extra bodies and participate. Sure. And I'm sure, obviously, some of these guys from Maine, you know, whether it's Cada or Davison or Walsh and some of these guys, you know, they're going to come up. They're going to be the same thing, you know, depth for Boston that, you know, hopefully never sees a game, you know, no disrespect intended.
No, I get it. Yep.
Yeah. They're going to be there to help out. So that in mind, you know, some of these guys, and again, I'm just thinking about some experiences that I've had working in minor league hockey in the past. Some of these guys, you could just really tell it's, some years, like going out chasing a championship in at that time, the AHL, you know, with you, we're talking about the G League. It's meaningful. It's important. You know, you're a competitor. You want to win a ring. Other guys, it's like, I mean, I'd like get me up to the pros sooner so I can be in that atmosphere and with those guys and getting those, you know, day checks, week checks, whatever. What's the vibe around this group? I mean, I realize they're only a win away. So I think, I probably know the answer to the question even as I ask it, but how important does it seem like it really feels to this crew to go out and you know, to be where they are in the first place and then obviously to finish the job?
I think it's helped them quite a bit. So just to throw a couple more names at you, like JD Davison and DJ Stewart, they started to get to know each other on a pro level back in August when they were in Boston for training camp. So Stewart played for the Sixers summer league team. And then he got picked up by Maine on a G League contract, but Stewart was a training camp invite. So Stewart and Davison go way back. Walsh, of course, was a draft pick, signed to an NBA contract. He was in camp. Cade has been in camp from the beginning to a two-way contract. They got Peterson, as I mentioned, in December when he was just a standard guy. And then he was on a Miami G League deal, and then Boston gave him a two-way. These guys have all been part of winning cultures where they've been. Walsh and Davison were in the NCAA tournament after their 1 years at their respective schools. Walsh was part of an upset against Kansas in last year's NCAA tournament. Davison was on some really good. Alabama got to the Final Four this year, but Davison was part of that fabric that Nate Oates has created at the college level. Stewart played at Duke, was part of a winning culture there, was in the playoffs in the G League last year. Peterson was an NCAA tournament player. Brandon Slater, I mean, you guys know this. Look at the Knicks, all those Villanova dudes that are playing NBA minutes. I mean, Brandon Slater was on those Villanova teams. He didn't win a title, but he got to a Final Four. They've got winning habits. And I think what should be keeping in mind, it's easy because this is a Celtics podcast. The Celtics have built such a huge lead in the East that these games in March and April are just tune-up games. Let's see what we have with Tillman and Cornette. Do we have a guy that is fighting for maybe a game's worth of minutes over the course of a seven-game series? Who's gonna go over who in the on the depth chart? So I say that because all eyes, I mean, I think the way these guys have approached it is, well, the big clubs got their crap ball put together. They're fine. They've got a 14 game lead. They're going to be the one seed in the East. And it's pretty close to, but certain they're going to be the number one overall seed, right? Depending on the West and how that shakes out. But all eyes are on the G League for this particular team. Brad Stevens was at our game last night. Rich Gotham was at our game last night. Mike Zarin, who is a treat to watch just as a fan. He gets super into it. Remy Cofield, Jarrell Christian, the GM. These guys are approaching it like not only for the Celtics, but all scouting eyes and folks that help run personnel when these games are on national TV. And I know they're not on ABC or ESPN or a TNT, but they're on ESPN News, ESPNU. Well, as that field shrinks, most scouts have their eyes on you and you could be the next diamond in the rough. And I'm sure any of these guys would love, I just saw this tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies just used their 50th starting lineup because of all the injuries they've had, including former Celtic Marcus Smart. I was looking at their roster today. Memphis has like eight guys on their team that have played in the G League, but they're NBA players now because they've been granted an opportunity. So I think the way these guys have all come together is let's take back a little bit of what we do individually, put it together. And if we win games and we show winning habits, that's going to attract an NBA team to perhaps give us a standard contract or at the very least to bring us in for a camp invite and have a chance to be an impact player. And an impact player can be a guy who's 10th, 11th off an NBA bench. And I think they, and I'm not just saying this, I think they see guys like Hauser and Cornett and what their track was. Hauser was an undrafted 5-year college player. Luke Cornett was in Chicago. Boston got him in a trade. And as I mentioned, he was on a hardship 10-day, and then he was on a 2-way with Boston briefly. And then, but you know, they're playing minutes for an NBA championship caliber team. So the fabric and the culture that Boston has established these last handful of years and how they've utilized their G League has, I think, motivated these guys. And it's true. Like, guys like Cato will come back and he says, hey, I was talking to Luke Cornett, and Porzingis and Horford are sending me a text. Congrats on the contract. Like, those guys don't have to do that. Like, they're happy for a guy like Cato because he's put the work in and they see it on a day in, day out basis. And guys like Stewart and Davison, as I mentioned, they're in camp. You know, JD Davison said he was super pumped when they got Jrue Holiday because he wanted to pick his brain about defense and how to pick your spots on offense and how to guard multiple positions. And even Walsh, having a guy like Tony Snell and the Tatum and Brown, guys that he looks up to, and he's 20 years old. So they look up to these guys. And I think when you see the winning at the next level from the parent club, you look at it, it's like they appreciate people that take back a little bit and want to win games.
Yeah, that was a big part, Coffin. You probably experienced maybe some of this, but when I was doing play-by-play for the Valley Cats, a minor league affiliate of the Astros.
Hockey, baseball, basketball, minor league trio.
Yeah, we got the minor leagues wrapped up here. But we had a visit from the then GM, Jeff Luhnow. And Jeff talked about the value at winning at every level. And they wanted to win the New York Penn League championship. They wanted to win the Sally League championship, the Double A championship, the Triple A championship, and the World Series. They were serious about developing winning habits from as early as you possibly can. So to the credit that the Celtics have done, they've created, one, a Celtics environment in Maine, right? Guys, the offense is similar, the defense is similar. You know, guys are going to have roles. Like, I think Jordan Walsh talked about this the other day. It's tough for him because he knows what his role needs to be to get in the NBA club, but his role with Maine is slightly different. He's talked about the balancing act of that. But the thing that you can take all the way through with you is winning, and winning at every level. And if you're winning G League games and you do what it takes to win G League games, that translates. And I think it's admirable that they're trying to create this sort of culture, not just within their own locker room, but within all the locker rooms that embody the Boston Celtics. So that's pretty awesome to hear that stuff, because as much as we all want to sit here and say this core of the Celtics is going to be together forever, we all know that's not the case. We know JD is sitting there waiting for, you know, the Peyton Pritchard trade or, you know, somebody to move on.
Well, Evan, just to use a quick example. I mean, look at Derek White and his ascension as a pro. And Popovich, when he comes to town or Boston's in San Antonio, Pop always has a soft spot for Derek White. But when Derek White was a G League guy, you have Kawhi Leonard and Tim Duncan and Manu Ginobili. Like, you're focused on winning a title at that level, but at some point, guys like Derek White, who kind of fly under the radar, are going to fill out a 13-man active roster any given night. So guys that appreciate the winning culture at the next level and know it also when you have a superstar like Jaylen Brown, who just got a huge extension, and Tatum's due, and they just gave Porzingis a deal. Well, if the money's going to be at the top of the roster, you got to find your Hausers, you got to find your Cornets to fill out your roster at some point down the road. And I think that's kind of the path. And I'll add this too. I mean, look at all the teams that are out of it in the East now: Brooklyn, Toronto, Charlotte, Washington, Detroit. We'll see those affiliates come in. So Motor City and Capital City and Greensboro and the team in Mississauga that comes down from Toronto. And then you've got Long Island. Like, some of these teams that are bad in the NBA, they're just kind of throwing crap against the wall, hoping they can find a two-way that just has some buzz, has some talent, and then they can go, boom, look, we found a guy that can maybe play like a sixth man role at the NBA level. Whereas this team is like, they're telling Walsh, we want you to be able to come to our team and be Jason Tatum and or Jaylen Brown's backup and come in and give us 15 minutes and be a stopper defensively and knock down shots. And that's the give and take. Do you want to go to an NBA team that doesn't win games, or do you want to be part of a winning culture and then be part of a team that could maybe win it and you're part of it in a rotation piece or just on the NBA roster?
Quick break from today's show to tell you today's show is powered by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players, like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley? Well, now you can find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community every single week and get on all the playoff action for basketball and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during the postseason. You can now bet up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, with hockey, baseball on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And Prize Picks is now the official daily fantasy sponsor of CLNS. And thanks for a new partnership. Our listeners get a pretty sweet new deal to sign up with Prize Picks. Just download the app, use the promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100 after you download the app. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
So look, obviously, like we all know the names. It's Davison, it's Walsh, it's Cada to a degree. You know, he's not a Boston draft pick like the other two. But as you know, you're not a scout, but you watch these guys on a regular basis, obviously, and you also have conversations with the coaching staff there pretty regularly, and you've interviewed Brad, and you know, I don't know if anyone's ever able to get Zarin on the mic, but you know, there's a collection of influential people and scouts I'm sure you've had some off the record conversations with as well. Is there anyone, not that the big club is in need of anything right now, as you alluded to, that changes. You know, you look at Derek White and what he, you know, the hurdles he had to climb, not only to serve a purpose in San Antonio, but he gets traded to Boston, a deal that some people did question at the time. And, you know, eventually has to leapfrog Marcus Smart, Malcolm Brogdon, become the player that he is now today, who's going to get a nice fat new contract here. So as you look at that, you know, group that exists in Maine right now, I mean, how do you handicap the chances of some of these guys that we talked about getting to the NBA, whether it's Boston or otherwise, getting to the NBA and becoming impactful players?
Well, again, a lot of that has to do with what the choices are made at the NBA level and what it comes down to, contracts and all kind of the things we just went through, right? When you have two max.
What do you think has the skill to develop?
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, I think Walsh can serve a role on a winning team. His 3-point percentage is up from his 1 year in college. He can,
when you say serve a role, like be a rotation guy,
be a rotation guy. And he can, so his shooting percentage has gone up and he can defend multiple positions. He's 6'7". He's six. They list him as 6'6", but his wingspan makes him, he can guard fours. He can guard threes. He can guard the ball. So Walsh, I think, definitely has a future, but there's so much raw ability, and he had a windmill dunk last night that I think fans might get a whiff of, and they're like, get this guy to Boston. And I'm like, I get it, but the dude needs games. And that speaks to answer your question, Koff, in a general sense, the one-and-done era of college basketball, and these guys don't have – if you're going to go one-and-done, the era of – I think the last big one-and-done that went to the NBA and played right away and was a star, and even then he still had trouble staying on the floor, is Zion Williamson. And a lot of these guys go to teams that aren't very good, like Cade Cunningham was a big name a couple years ago, and the Pistons aren't any good, and Cunningham has missed games because of injury or whatever it may be. But the G League as a whole has grown from the one and done. And I think the NBA and the Celtics more specifically are trying to really use that as a next step, and they make it about their team. Now, as you said, Davison, Walsh, and Cada, because of the two ways, and Peterson too, we should throw Drew Peterson in there because he's on a two way, Walsh on assignment. They're looking at those guys in their diaphragm of their program and how they fit their program. DJ Stewart's a guy, he's short, he's 6'2", but man, that guy competes. He makes big shots. off the dribble, can play off the ball. Him and Davison have been fun. We call him initials because he's DJ and then you got JD. So we just call him, we just came up with a dumb nickname, like initials. But DJ Stewart's been a G League guy, off and on as a two way. He's on a G League deal with Maine. He's a guy to me that feels like he wants that chance to be a two way and be part of an organization and someone to take a chance on him. But he comes off the bench as a sixth man, and he's a sniper. He's a game changer, can take it to the basket, even at his height. It's not as big as some other talented two ways in the league, but he can shoot it too, off the dribble, come off a screen and shoot it. So he's a shifty guard that has a future, I think. Peterson's another one where he could be, he's got that Hauser body type, 6'8", 6'9", catch and shoot, come off a screen, can guard multiple spots. Joe Wieskamp, who, speaking of the Spurs, Wieskamp was a second round pick of the Spurs in 2021, was bouncing around, and then Jarrell Christian went out and got him and said, hey, he's a guy that could fit what we do. And if he comes in and does what we think, what he's asked of him and what we think he's capable of, he can also fit into our group as a space, a pace and space guy who can shoot, defend. And Wieskamp's numbers since he's come to Maine have shot up exponentially. As a 3-point shooter. So, those are some other guys that are part of the deal, in Portland.
Yeah. The thing with Wieskamp was, I remember when he first came out, sorry, I was hitting my mute button here. My fault on that. But the thing with him was he was like the best shooter of the draft when he came out. Drew Peterson can shoot the hell out of it. I mean, and what Sam Hauser is showing you is that I'll go back. Not go all the way back here, but I'll throw Duncan Robinson out there as another guy who is like these movement shooters. Like you don't have to be Klay Thompson to get drafted in the upper end of the first round and have all this accolades in the history of his father, like to be attached to you for you to get a spot in the NBA. Shooting has never been more important in this league than ever. Like right now, if you can be a movement shooter, there's a spot for you somewhere. And the way the Celtics have embraced the 3-point line, it makes these guys like a Wieskamp or a Peterson, or like what's really tragic to me is to watch our guy Gary Bird. What the heck's his last name? Is it Matthews or yeah, Gary Matthews or whatever his name is? They had him in there for a while.
Gary Payton?
No. It's a white guy that I can't quite remember his name.
Yeah, Matthews.
What? It's Matthews. Yeah, it's Matthews. They let him get away and he's become into a terrific shooter. It's the Max Strus, you bring him in with Javonte Green and they pick Javonte, who's had a nice career himself. Don't get me wrong, but Max Strus is playing for, legit rotation minutes for, not a championship contender, but for a team that's going to play in the playoffs, right? Like those guys without this new avenue of like, yeah, movement shooting has never been more valuable than ever. Like there's definitely a spot for you. So these guys going out competing, maybe DJ Stewart's a little too small for this particular type of role, but like the other guys, like there's a spot for you and Boston's going to have a spot for you at some point. As we talk about the roster getting more expensive, like they're going to find ways to cut corners. Like Sam Hauser, I keep thinking about this cop and I haven't mentioned this in our group chat at all yet, but like, I am terrified of the contract that Sam Hauser is going to get when he hits the open market because it's going to be substantial if he keeps shooting like this. He's just an unbelievable shooter. So you're going to have somebody in the wing. Like, do you think these guys must understand that? Like, they look at the Boston club and say, hey, like, I'm looking at a version of me who eventually won't be here and I can be that guy. So like all these minutes are super valuable.
Just looking up, Duncan Robinson got 5 years, $90 million, from Miami. I mean, that's like
a horrific contract, but putting that aside, he got it.
Yeah, but the AAV isn't that crazy when you consider some of the other guys that get that, right? And he's on a winning team.
I just mean it is for Duncan Robinson, but the contract. Well,
think about the guys currently playing for the Maine Celtics. Any of them would kill for 5 years.
It's true.
Oh, God, yeah. When I say horrendous, I don't mean in like, I mean, in his favor. Like he is not.
No, I got it. Yeah. Yeah. No, Evan, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think that's exactly what these guys think. And even when it is a situation where they get, if Peterson's with Boston on a road trip or even just sits on the bench for a home game and he's just there as an extra body, and there are games where these guys will go and it's an off night in Maine and the team's at home on a homestand and they've got a night off and Boston's at the Garden and they're not, even if they're not playing and they're in street clothes, it's a chance for them to pick these guys' brains. And Hauser's the, Hauser came back up for a game. He is like, he is so, I think he, you even seen some of the video footage that's come out the last couple of days where you got how Cornette was wearing a Maine jersey in warmups, the other night. I think it was against, I forget who they were playing, Boston at home. But they do pick these guys' brains, and Hauser and Cornette are two excellent examples of this because they are playing. They are actually playing Hauser more regularly than Cornette. Cornette's almost like it's like a spot starter in baseball, right? They'll give him a spot start or a spot backup role when Horford's out on the second night of a back-to-back, or Tillman's wasn't quite ready yet getting involved with the team. Porzingis, the nights they manage him. It's exactly what that runs through their mind. And I think they think of it also like, oh, you know, it's not just Boston. Like, this is what the league's turned into.
Yeah.
For a guy like a Peterson or a Wieskamp or even a guy like Walsh, who's got a little bit more raw ability across the board, not just to be a role guy, but maybe in the NBA with a lesser NBA team and play more. But that's the give and take of what being part of the Celtics is.
Well, it's to that point, exactly. Guys are not at this level. I mean, what I feel like most people know this. I think it's kind of common sense. But, you know, there's no like organizational loyalty. Like, guys in Maine are not thinking about how do I get to Boston. They're thinking about how do I get to the NBA. How do I get to an opportunity that exists for me with anyone in the association? They don't care about the Celtics. In fact, they look at it and say, I'm going to get my opportunity here in Maine and take advantage of it as best I can. I can see there's no opportunity. There's no room for me in the roster in Maine or in Boston. But so long as I make an impact down here, somebody's going to come calling. And so that's the objective. While you're here, Glash, and I don't want to go too long with this show, but I want to mix in a little bit of NBA. You don't just talk G League, obviously. You know what's going on in the association. You know, we're talking about the playoff seeding and the jockeying for position. I just want to point out, because I just noticed this, it's not at all relevant to Boston, but I just think it's funny. So in the Western Conference, where, I mean, that is very much in flux right now. I mean, Minnesota and Denver are still tied for the top seed. Oklahoma City only a game back. You have the Clippers, Mavericks, Pelicans, Suns, pardon me, all separated by just a few games. Kings, Lakers, Warriors, you know, we know who's everyone else below them has been eliminated. So 1 through 10, we know. We just don't know what the order, obviously, is going to be. And so it makes the play-in tournament, you know, unpredictable and funny. And, you know, like, could we see the Lakers and Warriors play against each other in the play-in tournament? If the season ended today.
Didn't they do that a couple years ago? That happened a couple years ago, right?
So it's just nuts with that kind of star power. But what I wanted to point out was Minnesota, Denver, OKC, Clippers, Mavericks, Pelicans, in that order. That is your 1 through 6. That is the current playoff bracket in the Western Conference, and all of those teams, it's a little fluky, I realize, but just to highlight, you know, these teams going for it right now, trying to lock in whatever specific seed, these teams are all riding winning streaks, all of them, all six. It's just kind of nuts, you know, not as much so in the East or even among the play-in teams, but the Eastern Conference, which obviously people care more about, we know the Celtics are firmly locked into their spot as the top team, not only in the East, but in the NBA and by a wide margin. And then the Bucks are the only other team, guys, that have clinched a playoff spot in the East. The Knicks, the Magic, the Cavs, the Pacers, the Sixers, the Heat, all right now are separated by three games. Yep. 3 through 8 separated by three games. So any of them could be playoff teams or could be play-in tournament teams. The Bulls and the Hawks are locked in, however, in 9 and 10 in whichever the order winds up being. So we know they are playing in the play-in tournament against each other. But everybody else, you know, it's TBD. And we have had injuries, load management, whatever, all over the place. The East is just, it's thinning out. I mean, I don't want to say this is an easy road for Boston. You know, weird things happen. So and injuries happen, as is happening elsewhere. So I take nothing for granted. But right now, if you are the Boston Celtics, and if you are healthy, you have to feel good about what's happening around you in the East and the potential inevitability of a showdown with, you know, Jokic and the Nuggets on the other side in the NBA Finals. It's what people want. I mean, maybe people don't want to face Denver because that's scary as hell. But it's what, you know, the NBA, I'm sure, would love to see. And what do you make of what you've seen so far? Not so far, but what exists right now in the Eastern standings, and whether is there a team, Glash, that you look at and just say, all right, that's the biggest threat to Boston, especially when you now consider the injury to Giannis.
Sure, you guys have done this before, like Miami, right? You can't rule out Miami.
Yeah, but that's but can you or can't you? Like, it's you can't rule out Miami because of PTSD. But if you remove that, can you rule out Miami?
I think they're good. I think they've got enough there to make it. I'm not saying that they're going to stomp all over the Celtics and do it to them Bucks style. It could happen to the Bucks couple. I say that, and they had a 3-0 lead in last year's conference finals. I respect Spoelstra. I respect Butler, and not just Butler, but what Butler has injected into that team in their belief. And it's kind of like it's got a. I like how Evan brought up the Max Strus example. Like they can just plug and play dudes in there and they think, oh, look, Max Strus did that or Caleb Martin did that. Then give another guy a shot. And like Terry Rozier gets a chance at some redemption on a contending team. Mm-hmm. Cleveland, I thought, going back to last year, I know Boston played them back in December and took a 2-game home series away from them on a Tuesday and Thursday, I think. But Donovan Mitchell, I don't know if he wants to be there.
Doesn't seem like it.
Damian Lillard's had some stuff. SI had an article on him, and he feels lonely. Like, that's kind of a – if the fact that Giannis has won one, and I know Doc's won one back from 08, but does that Bucks team have any shot to be like the – I think it was the year of the lock – not the lockout, but the shortened season where the Celtics were – with Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, they were, like, hovering around 500. Then they got in, got a good draw. I think Philly had an injury or something at the top of the league when they had Iguodala, and – the Celtics went all the way to the conference final. I don't know if it was the year they went to the finals in 2010. But anyway, like, do the Bucks have that in them? Because they have won it before. At least Giannis has, Lopez, Middleton, Bobby Portis. Like,
they've got guys who have done it.
I'm reaching to answer your question. Orlando's got nothing to lose. I think that's a great year for them, and some of the length they have along their front line can be mm-hmm. problematic. I'm curious to see how Porzingis looks in a playoff series and playing every night and game planning against the same team. I'm not too worried about Tatum from this standpoint of like game planning for the same team every night in a playoff series. The only guy I really haven't seen do that is Porzingis because he hasn't been on many winning teams. Yeah, I guess he won some games when he was in Dallas, but Miami, I don't worry about Philly all that much because I don't think it's going to be I think Embiid, his style of play is great for the regular season, but I don't know if it exactly translates. However, I do like Nick Nurse as a coach. And Nick Nurse, fun fact, was a G League coach in the Raptors organization and worked his way up. And he plays his guys a lot of minutes. It's got like a Thibodeau feel to him, but, they play hard every night. And I think they're maximizing what that roster is with the Tobias Harris contract and whatnot. So, and the Knicks, Jalen Brunson's a good story. The Villanova guys, they've put together, they've got a culture, but I don't think talent wise they're there. They almost remind me of IT and the Celtics, like Brunson's just having this unreal season and they're just riding his coattails and we'll see how far he takes us kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But you get Miami. If Miami ends up being the, cause Miami could win in Philly, right? And be the 7 and they could get Milwaukee in the first round and you dodge them in the first round. But if you draw Miami, I know you mentioned PTSD, but that's,
well, I could also see them, knocking off the Bucks again without a doubt.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, if Giannis isn't available or just isn't remotely 100%, I mean, I wouldn't assume any sort of success from the Bucks. I mean, before the injury, they haven't been any good. And, you know, basically since Doc took over.
I know. And Adebayo, to me, I thought Adebayo was fantastic in the bubble year that they went to the finals against, but he hasn't. At least against the Celtics, Adebayo hasn't been really an issue, right? It's been Butler and shooters. It's been Butler and spacing and kicking it to guys. And so
it was a problem. Yeah, in the Eastern Conference Finals, when they played him in the bubble, Bam was a huge problem.
Yeah, it was excellent. And then I think the Celtics found they made an adjustment, or maybe Adebayo is not as good as I think. Well, he's a great player.
Having Rob Williams was a huge help. And then now having Porzingis is a whole different – like. Rob could hang with Bam in terms of all the stuff that Bam likes to do. You know, he takes away Bam as a lob threat. If they didn't have Rob, I just have PTSD of watching all these alley-oops to Bam because they didn't have any rim protection without Rob Williams. And, you know, they have Rob, but, you know, it makes life easier in certain regards. And then, you know, but Bam is a hell of a defensive player, can roam all around. What's interesting about this version of the Celtics is they're able to kind of reel in what Bam can do as a defensive playmaker. Bam just wreaks havoc as a guy that can just float around. And because Porzingis is a capable 3-point shooter, he's got to follow Porzingis out of the 3-point line. That's what to me is going to be real interesting if they play Miami. What does Spo come up with? What junk zone does Spo throw out there to as a latch? Because it wouldn't shock me if Miami were to win the series, but it would have to be with some junk zone that I've never even seen before. Like he'd have to come up with something really unique, and I think the world is Spo. I think Nick Nurse is a similar, like, cut of a similar cloth of, we're going to be prepared for everything. Whatever defense we play, we've run it in practice, in games, no matter what we do, we have confidence in it. Just Spo's team seem to be just slightly better at executing those things throughout a 7-game series. And I'm just curious to deal with Bam. And then, like, what guy on Miami just goes crazy? Because you know somebody. Yeah. Is going to come off the bench. It's going to be like Highsmith, right? Heywood Highsmith's going to come off the bench and shoot 42% from three on 7 attempts a game and bury them like Caleb Martin did last year. Then they'll make the finals and you won't hear from that guy ever again. Like, it's just like the most annoying thing in the history of basketball.
Yeah. So Koff, before you jump back in to echo Evan's point, I think that's a good call out because I think Porzingis, the Celtics have not, in the last 5-6 years, they haven't had a guy like this who can stretch the floor. You're going to have to work hard on both ends against Porzingis. And I think he's been a very, I don't want to say a surprise, but I think we've found out he's actually an above average defender. And he does present matchup problems on the defensive end, but offensively, the way he stretches the floor, they haven't had that piece. Whereas I'm talking more about the opponent now. The opponent has to actually work really hard now to come out and guard a big that can shoot. So your Embiid's, Giannis, Adebayo, and even the guys in Orlando, Cleveland. Cleveland's got Mobley back, and Jared Allen's had a fine year. That's a different dynamic than previous
three pointers. If you let him,
or you just let him do it, and that could be troublesome. But
no, I mean, we've been talking about this in recent weeks, and
I'm sure you have. Because what else are you going to talk about? They've had the East locked up. I get it.
Well, not even just that. I mean, the fact that, you know, especially now that year one is just about in the books in terms of the regular season, you know, Porzingis has absolutely exceeded my expectations. And I, you know, came into the year with a reasonable bar for him. But he's cleared it. He's been everything I think they were targeting and more so far. It's the other sort of side of that coin. And, you know, Ev and I, we get into this a lot with our buddy Seth on our group thread. It's never been about the regular season. It's been about the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, you know, what is the impact going to be there? And can he handle the physicality of it, the grind of it, be reliable to be on the floor, all these things? And that's not, I don't bring these things up to imply that he can't or won't be
an unknown.
It's just, we don't know it. You know, we haven't seen it before. Never mind in Boston, period. We really haven't seen it before. And a lot of these guys, and this is a credit to the Celtics, most of them, the impactful ones have been through it. They've been through the ringer. I mean, there's no more. And honestly, in my mind, this went away a couple of years ago anyway, but there's no more like pointing at the Jays and saying they're inexperienced or they're too young or they're like, no, you're there. It's your moment. You know, you fail, but there's no built-in excuse anywhere. And we've now lost the, you know, I never had this or I never played this card because I never believed in it. But for the many, many people, the maybe 50% of people that scream throughout Marcus Smart's career of what a, you know, negative force that he was on this team, you know, at least on the floor, if not off. And again, Marcus, if you're out there listening, I don't buy it. We don't stan you. We're big fans here of Marcus Smart, but I'll tell you what, I mean, there are a lot of people that would point to the Smart excuse and, you know, that's gone too. Joe, it's not his first year anymore. He's been a damn good coach. He's going to be in the coach of the year conversation. The excuses are gone. Like everybody, Horford obviously has had many deep playoff runs with this team and elsewhere. You know, you've had White, you know, knows what it takes. Pritchard, you know, Hauser is maybe for the first time going to get a real opportunity. I mean, he hasn't, I guess if you want to point to him and say he hasn't really had it, I wish he had last year. I was begging for him to get it last year and he really didn't. So this is now Hauser's time, but Porzingis is something of, I don't want to call him an X factor. That's too much, but there's definitely, you know, now his time has come to show that he's who everyone has come to believe that he is. And I'm excited for it. I'm not going in with skepticism or doubt. I'm just excited to see it. And I know that we're all, just to kind of put a nice little bow on this from where we started, I'm excited to get through these next three games. Cause that's where we're at now. You know, I've often said, like, enjoy the ride. Don't wish time away, all that. Now we're in the get through portion. Get through the last three games of the regular season that don't mean anything. And let's get to the playoffs and find out who they're facing and, you know, shorten the benches and you get the more predictable rotations and minutes and all of that good stuff that, you know, I love from a DFS and gambling perspective. And this is just going to be fun. I hope it's fun, but we need them to stay healthy. And that's ultimately the bottom line. Maintain your depth that comes through health.
Last thing I'll say is, I'm sure you've heard this before. You guys have talked about this, I'm sure, on your shows and other Celtics content you consumed. So you asked me what team. Well, it's themselves, right? The only team that can get in their own way is themselves. And if I'm sorry, when you play a 7-game series, whether it's round one, whether it's the conference final, and more specifically, if it's an NBA final, they've had an excellent point differential, just over 11 points a game. There's going to be a couple games in a 7-game series. If a series goes six, there might only be two. There might be one. There might be three. There could be four. I just hope they stay the same in that same connectivity on offense and keep running their stuff and go away from it at the end of these games. And the Porzingis thing, I was working at the Sports Hub the night this happened, but they went to Porzingis a ton in one of those games. He had 15 shots at halftime and he took two in the fourth quarter and overtime combined in that second Atlanta game. And I'm like, now I liked the play they ran for him. They threw it into him in the post, drew a second defender, and then they had Brown come off a curl and he hit the tough contested elbow jumper. But like, that's a kind of play where I'm like, okay, that's good. They're still using the dude they went out and got to change the spacing and give, that's where like the Marcus Smart thing. I'm like, okay, like you're right. That's gone. If you had problems with it, that's gone. Use everybody. Like, you don't have to just say, give it a zero, get out of the way, or give it a seven, get out of the way. Keep playing your game. Cause these games will get tight. That is par for the course. That's how a series goes, especially against a respectable opponent. I don't love the Sixers, but they have seen you before. I respect Nurse. They've got guys that have been there before. Whether they've won a lot is a different question, but they've been in the playoffs before. Your Miami's, your Milwaukee's, like, you got to stay in it and just don't go away from stuff at the end because it's close and you're supposed to clear out and try to make a crazy shot to win a game. Like, keep playing your game. That's what I would get worried about. So that's what I mean when I say beat yourselves. Like, keep doing what you've been doing for 3.5 quarters.
I don't respect Philly at all. If you lose to Philly, blow it up.
Oh, I know.
Blow it up and start over if you lose to the Sixers.
Well, I'll tell you, the team, everybody. The staff is going to tell them to respect them. And respect and be like,
I'm doing the coach thing. I want the Celtics to, you know, respect the Oklahoma City Blue. Like, that's, I want nothing but respect from them. Yeah. I don't need to respect them. That I have no impact on the way this plays out. But
I think one of the more, just to your point, like if they get Miami, like one of the more underrated things about this team the last half decade. They didn't smoke them, but remember the Nets series when they had to play Durant and Irving and everyone's like, oh no, they got to get the Nets in the first round. How worried are you? Are they up for it? Do you like this draw? And they swept them.
That's about as closely contested a sweep as you'll ever see.
Exactly.
I feel like the Celtics won that series by a total of like 10 points.
But that's my point. Like no one gave the Nets a shot. They're disgruntled. You've got two stars. They met in the tunnel going back a few years at All-Star weekend. Let's put it together. And that's why it wouldn't count out like a Milwaukee that's had its issues, I'm sure, but you might get into some grinders here and you got to stay together. And that's a great example of a Marcus Smart game where he made a great cut and made a great finish. And I'm with you too on Tatum, like game six, Milwaukee, the year they went to the finals, Philadelphia last year. Like he's had some moments where he's had not just the end of the game, one specific possession, but put together a quarter, put together a half. Yeah, those excuses are, yes, out the window. But use the pieces you went out and got, because they're, you got a champion in Holiday. Porzingis is a complimentary piece on a title team, I think. So yeah, anyway, that's all I got. And then I think the main Celtics are going to win the championship, I think, Thursday night. That's how I'll wrap it on my end.
You see that? But before the, you know, before the big club's championship push begins, we got a championship to crown still in the G League here. The main Celtics, the Oklahoma City Blue, Thursday night. Glass should be on the radio broadcast. Are you, where can the people find you if they want to listen?
I don't know. So I think our mutual friend Evans Boston is going to have the Comrex, and he'll be out there because he's also our director of public. I know. Well, you know, it's G League budget, man. They can't send us out there.
They got to travel you out there. I love Evans. I do. But
hey,
I
mean, Evans Boston.
Evans called the national championship for Syracuse back in 2003.
I was just going
to
go there.
He was on the call for that one. Now he's going to get to call this. Well, now I'm even more curious to listen.
Yeah.
He's going to be all
selfishly, if they don't get it done Thursday, we would have game three, the deciding game three. It's a best of three series would be Monday night at 9 Eastern at the Expo. So,
well, cool as it would be to win at home, you know, nobody wants the pressure of a winner take all game.
No.
You know, go out, get the job done, especially when you're up, like you said, 28 in the first half. You beat the team by 20. Just go out, torch this club, win the title, and let's have a I don't know what's the equivalent of a duck boat parade through Portland.
I mean, I don't know.
They're going on a brewery tour. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, a lobster tasting.
There we go. I love it. Good stuff. All right. For Brendan Glasheen, great to have him on. It's been a while. For Evan Valenti, I am Adam Kaufman. Next time, it is a preview of the playoffs and what is to come for the Boston Celtics in round one. Very excited. It's almost here, folks. We're into mid-April at this point. Playoffs are coming, and hopefully a parade is only a couple months behind. We'll talk soon.